all God's people. And then he said, but we love because Jesus first loved us. We need a passion for Jesus, how we might express this best in our church life. Our vision is to be sold out for Jesus, to have a passion for Jesus and for everyone to play their part. And over the next few months, rebuilding love and care and fellowship and refocusing our vision for St. Andrew's on our passion for Jesus. So I thought about these words, passion for Jesus, and we often hear the phrase, we need to look to Jesus, or we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. So I thought, I was sort of asking God these questions. I said, how do I keep my eyes on Jesus? And he said, well, you keep them off yourself. And I thought, well, basically, that probably is right. So then I thought about love. And I thought, well, what is love? Well, 1 Corinthians 13 is very good at telling us what love is. So I thought I'd look that up. It said, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not envious. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It doesn't keep a record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And then it says, love never fails. So I said to God, I said, so I've got to be patient, kind, not envious, not boasting, never proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, not keeping a record of wrongs, not delighting in evil, rejoicing with the truth, always protecting, always trusting, always hoping, always persevering, whilst keeping my eyes off myself. And God said, yes. And I said, well, that is supernatural. And God said, yes. So I thought a little bit more about this because in 1 John 3, verse 17, it has and 18, it has a passage that used to make me very nervous when I was first a Christian. It says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And I used to think to myself, I'm not a particularly proactive, caring person. That sort of makes me nervous because I thought, how much have I got to do? How do I know who to do it with? And it was all sort of those questions. And I used to look at other people who weren't Christians and I used to think they're much more loving than me. And I used to think of my daughter. She's got a really loving heart, my daughter. She puts me to shame. There was one winter about 5 years ago, just before that really cold winter, and she said, Mum, I need a coat. Can you come and help me buy a coat? And it was late Saturday afternoon. We hadn't got much time left. And we were heading up Head Street towards Debenhams, and I was focusing coat. And we got to the door of Debenhams, and she said, oh, I feel awful. I said, why? I said, aren't you well? So she said, no. She said, we've just walked past those people back down there, and they were really struggling to get something, you know, to do. There was a man who was disabled, and his wife was trying to get a wheelchair into the boot, and we didn't help. I think we ought to go back and help. Well, I hadn't focused any of that. All I'd noticed was that some people were filling a boot, and they were parked on a double yellow line. And so I said, they've probably gone by now and we need to focus on the coat. So she listened to me and we went into the shop. But she was right, I wasn't right. And there was another time when she was trying to pass her driving test and she wasn't particularly good at the bit for the theory part of the driving test. And she said, Mum, I was asked this question, why do you have to leave a space behind a car when you stop at a roundabout? I said, well, I would have thought that was fairly obvious in case they break down and you need to get round. So she said, well, that's what he said. So I said, well, what did you say? So she said, well, I said, I can't think why you would want to leave a space, because surely if they've broken down, you'll want to get out and help. And so completely different from me. And so on Friday afternoon, God gave me an experience that taught me a lesson And now it's to do with this, and I want to share it with you this morning. On Friday afternoon after school, I go and do a counselling session for a charity on the other side of Colchester. And the quickest way for me to get there is to walk, and it's about 2 miles. And I walk from school at 3:15. I have to be there at 10 to 4, so 35 minutes. I'm focused. I'm walking. And so I set out, and these two chaps at work said, well, it's really much, much quicker because it's in the Wimpole Road area. If you head across Abbey Field in that sort of diagonal direction, and you'll get out on Mersey Road by the new sort of housing estate, and you'll get right over the other side. It's quicker than the way you've been doing. And they laughed because they thought I wouldn't do it. Well, I did try to do it one of the other weeks, and I set off on the completely the wrong trajectory. I was heading for the old Garrison swimming pool. By the time I'd walked round and back, I was just about on time. But this afternoon, I thought, right, I'm going to get there and I shall be on time and I shall be relaxed and ready because I shall get there before her. So I set out and I got to Abbey Field and I thought, right, I want to go in that direction. So I'm setting off and I'm walking along. It was very hot actually on Friday afternoon, if you remember. It got hot from the morning. I was wearing a coat. I thought, I need to take the coat off, but I don't want to stop, don't want to put my rucksack down. So I thought I'd try to take the coat off, keep the rucksack on, do it all at once. And then I was successful. I thought, oh, this is going well. Carried on walking, heading for the trees. Heard something on the ground. I thought, oh, I must have dropped something. I thought it was my phone. So I looked in my coat, which I was carrying, and the phone wasn't there anymore. I thought, oh, I've lost my phone. So I thought, I must have just dropped it here where I heard the noise. So I was looking around on the ground, no phone. So I thought, well, I'll just retrace my steps a little bit. When I looked back, there's a whole of Abbey Field. I thought, I must have been walking roughly from that direction. So I started walking back, looking to the right and the left. No phone. And I thought, I haven't got my phone, I've lost my phone. By now I'd added 5 to 10 minutes to my journey because I'd walked back further than I had when I was taking the coat off. And I thought, my phone's a really old phone. It's not even password-protected lock. It's on a direct debit. Anybody finding that could make calls for a whole week because it had new charge in it. It's so ancient, people laugh at it. But it could cost me a lot of money if I lose it. And I thought, oh, I can't concentrate now. Concentrate. I can't even ring up to say I'm going to be late. And so I was walking along and I said, oh, I'll have to go and do this counselling session. I'll have to tell her when I get there that I've lost my phone. And this voice in my head said, you can't tell her you've lost your phone. And I thought, why? I wasn't particularly at this point even having a conversation with God. I wasn't praying. I wasn't doing anything. I was really annoyed. And I thought, why? Because that hour is about her. It is not about you. None of this is about you. So I thought, oh, so I can't tell. I've lost my phone. Just need a bit of sympathy at this point. I was also very, very thirsty because it was hot that afternoon and I hadn't got a drink. Anyway, I carried on. I arrived at the place where I was doing this counselling session and I got in. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry I'm late. I said, there was an issue that I had to deal with. But I'm here now. So she said, that's all right. And she'd got me a glass of water. And that was the one thing at that point in time that I needed. And God gave me the grace at that point to park the phone. I didn't even think about it. And I had the most blessed time with this lady. And when I left, I thought, right, what am I going to do now? My phone. I was focusing on my phone. I've left now. I'm now focusing on the phone. I thought, I can either walk 2 miles home in that direction, get the car, drive back to school in case I left it there, or I could walk back 2 miles back to school, see if I left it there, walk another mile home. I thought, either way, I've got to walk all these miles. And at which point, I started to pray. Taking a bit of time, but I did at that point. And I said, Lord, you know, you don't allow anything to happen and without a good reason. You've allowed this to happen. What do I do? So I rather got the impression I was to walk back the way I'd come and cross Abbey Field again. So I thought, all right. And as I was going along, I was thinking about other passages from the Bible that I was claiming as promises that God, like the ones we've had this morning, that he never leaves us or forsakes us and he always meets our needs. So as I was walking along, I was getting to the sticks and the stones, and I thought, well, I'd looked around here, and then I got the whole of Abbey Field. It was now an hour later. There were loads of people there. Part of me was thinking, oh, well, the chances of me finding my phone, this is ridiculous. Which way am I going to walk? Am I going to go that way, that way, that way? And I felt the Lord saying, walk this way. So I did, and I was walking, looking to the right and the left, and there it was. And there were people playing football, there were people walking dogs, and there was my phone. I thought, I've got it. Now I can go home. But it was only after this that God showed me a lot out of this. First of all, he had given me a picture of his loving care and provision. He'd shown me that I needed to put somebody else's needs before my own while he was taking care of my needs. I didn't know about my phone. I know it's only a trivial thing. At the time, it wasn't to me. But that he was looking after. He was also caring more at that point in time as well about the person that I was going to see. It'd been devastating for her for her last counselling session if all I'd been concerned with was me, and it would have been my issue. He provided me with a glass of water, which at that point in time was what I actually needed. All the time he was taking care of my phone. Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack absolutely nothing. Even when I wasn't particularly thinking about him, he was caring for me. When I started to speak out the promises of his word, he directed my steps. Isaiah 30, 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Proverbs 3, 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Psalm 23, 3 says, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And I reflected that when I started to behave like a child of God and take my eyes off myself, I was at peace. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. When thinking about these passages and this morning and this episode, I then reflected on four things about what it takes me a long time to realize in my Christian life. The first thing it takes me a long time to learn in all this loving business is that I must expect to be inconvenienced. It's not something I like very much. But what I do know is that when we allow ourselves to be inconvenienced for God, not only does he use us to bless someone else, but he blesses us at the same time. But it takes me a long time to learn that lesson. The next thing that I often forget in Jesus' command to lead a supernatural lifestyle, because it is, what he asks us to do is not natural, is that he equips me in every way to do it. Psalm 23:5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. John 3:24 says, the one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he has given us. Another thing that it takes me a long time to learn It's in this Ephesians passage, which is so familiar to us. Ephesians 2:8-10. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, not saved by all the good things that we do or think that we do, so that no one can boast, so we can't boast. And then, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And it takes me a long time to realise that we've been saved from works in order to do works. It's just that before it was us doing them for whatever. When I think about my daughter, she's got a loving, loving heart, but she gets very upset very easily. She can very easily dislike someone if they've wound her up the wrong way. I mean, there's whole that side, and I think, yeah, but we can't be like that. Saved from good works, for God works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. Not what we think we ought to do, or what somebody else is doing, or think, well, I'm doing much more than they're doing, that's not right. Or, well, I'm doing all these things so that I'll give myself a pat on the back, even if I don't think that I'm doing that. Good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do and equipped for us to do. And then the final thing that it takes me such a long time to understand is that I do this from a place of rest. Ephesians 2:6. It says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And when I look at that, I think, am I standing up, rushing around? What does it say there? It says I'm sitting down. It says I'm sitting down. I am seated with Christ. He's sitting down. I'm sitting down, it tells me here. I'm seated with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus now, in my spirit. And I'm sitting down. 1 John 3:19 says, we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Both these passages we've had this morning, we set our hearts at rest in his presence. So we're constantly receiving. We're at rest, we're receiving, and from that place of rest, God uses us for the works which he has prepared in advance for us to do. There's a chorus of a song that's playing in my car at the moment. And it says, pour your spirit over me, let your love rain down. Will you take these hands of mine and use me? Pour your spirit over me. Let your love rain down. Will you take these feet of mine and lead me? Amen.